Welcome to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Welcome to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia Elcoury.
And I'm Cathy Weston.
Now, so tonight's show is all about mothers and going back to work. And now, we're not going to do the usual just talking about what a big dilemma it is. We're going to go much deeper into the subject.
Yeah, because what we're going to talk about, Lydia, is it's the end of the summer and a lot of mums and dads are actually feeling very, very depleted. It's the back to school can be a very, very stressful time. We've endured maybe lots of childcare during the summer, maybe time away from a partner who's been working. You know, there's a lot of pressures that have been on parents during the summer holidays, financially and otherwise. So we're going to dwell on that. And we're also going to look at the issue of returning to work with our special guest tonight. Jessica Chivers is in the studio. She is the Thinking Women's Coach. She's known as, and she's going to be guiding us through all these moans, basically. I'm going to be talking about all the issues that we have as parents.
That's it.
And we're going to have a good, honest chat about them tonight and try and address some of them. And we will be having some phone in later on where listeners can contribute to the discussion.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your thoughts. And if anybody would like to come on, speak to Jessica, ask her advice or share your thoughts about it. We're not just talking about planned childcare for the summer. We're talking about ad hoc, you know, improvised versions that you've had to pull together and the stresses and strain that that puts on parents who, you know, might work part-time, go down to not working at all during the summer or continue working part-time during the summer but still
or trying to work while juggling childcare.
That's it, yeah. Indeed. And indeed, if you're not working and you're back and, you know, you're not working and you have your children suddenly for 6 weeks, what is it, 6-8 weeks during the summer, you know, it's a huge extra burden. And there just doesn't seem to be a huge amount of support out there bar sending your kid off to every summer camp there is going. So let's talk through the problems. We'd also love to talk through some solutions. You know, we don't just want to whinge about it because there's moms out there who are getting it right. And we'd love to hear some good solutions from you as well. So drop us an email on parentshow@radioverulam.com. Or if you can text us, text RV and then a space and your message to 07903 100 100. So that's text RV. then a space and your message to 07903 100 100, or simply give us a bell on 01727 839 926, just like the frequency. And we'd love to put you in touch with Jessica, put you live on air to discuss it with us. You know, the more you get involved in the show, the more valuable it is as a show to us. So we'll have a little bit of music, Cathy, before we move on to talking
to Jessica. Let's do that, and then we'll be back with Jessica Chivers.
Radio Verulam, serving West Hearts.
Now, tonight's show, it is a little bit biased. I think we are kind of gearing a little bit towards the mums, but we would be very happy for a dad's perspective as well. 01727 839 926, and we would prefer you to say how wonderful we are when you get on the phone, dads. I'm joking. Okay.
So what we're focusing on tonight is the kids are back at school this week, last week. Everyone is sort of breathing a sigh of relief. But what we're recognising tonight, Jessica Chivers, is the amount of work that we, especially as mums or the parent who's doing the childcare at home for the most part, have put in to survive the summer to ensure that our children have had a fantastic time. As one of my friends said today, my children have had a whale of a time this summer. I'm exhausted. And it's about just having an honest to God discussion about what it's been like for lots of parents. They're very, very, and we're trying to recognise how tiring it can be and trying to come up with some really lovely positive outlook on how we can move forward from the autumn into the winter, which has its own demands. So Jessica has joined us. Jessica Chivers, the Thinking Woman's Coach,
hello,
has joined us in the studio tonight, Jessica. So we're hoping that you will be able to help us, I don't know, relax and look forward to the winter months.
Look forward to winter.
Yeah, there
Gosh,
you go.
That is a tall order.
We need to get our well-being in order, really, before we move
is
into
that an oxymoron? Look, no, you can't really say it's an oxymoron. Anyway, it doesn't fit. Looking forward to winter.
I know. But I think while the sun is shining, it's about getting our mindset right, isn't it?
Yeah.
For the next few weeks. And so, yeah, you know, all this, you're in the supermarket, like we were saying today, and you see the Halloween stuff, the Christmas stuff. It's just, to me, all that means is admin and more purchasing yeah. for children and more organisation for their social calendars.
Yeah,
but it doesn't have to be, though.
Really, you Jessica, just tell us.
Okay, maybe I am a freak, but I see that stuff and I just let it gloss over me because, well, A, I hate seeing it so early on. I mean, there's nothing more depressing as a child. Do you remember when you were a child and you would see school uniforms yeah. in the shops when you'd just broken up?
Yeah.
I am still like that as a mother. Yeah. I do not want to be racing through the seasons. And I see all that stuff. I think I'm not buying that because it's going to end up in landfill. I'm an eco-warrior here as well. And I just think I'm not going to do it, you know? Yeah, I'm not going to yeah. get suckered into all of this stuff, and I'm certainly not going to think about it now because, as you both just said, I'm still trying to get myself freshened up from actually a lovely summer, but one that was very much focused on trying to have a good time with the children, keep the house going and earn at the same time, and that does take its toll. Like you say, I think just pressing pause now as parents, whew,
yeah,
and breathe and fill ourselves up so we're ready to go for that season and can smile all the way to Christmas.
Yeah. it makes a lot of sense. But and the great thing would be is to get through the summer in a way that you're not desperately waiting for the 5th of September, 4th of September, whatever, to come, so that you yeah. know you shoo your kids out the door to school. No. You know, I mean, that would be a great solution.
You know
it?
What? But I think we can do that. And I think we compare ourselves too much to other families and think, oh gosh, they're doing this, this and this. Therefore, I must be doing this, this and this. And it's really easy to take an aggregate of what everyone else is doing and think, oh, well, I should be doing all of that as well. And actually just stopping and thinking about, well, as a parent, what kind of things do I like to do? What are the simple pleasures that I can do with my kids? And not trying to script things too much, because you take the joy out of being with the children if everything's so heavily scripted. And kids don't want to have set things that they're doing every day. But, you know, one thing I would say, do scripting, and that I do, I've learned to do this, is do factor in some time for you to do something without the children that you enjoy doing, and that might only be cleaning the kitchen or baking a cake, but doing it by yourself. Mm-hmm. Because actually my children are 6 and 4, and the questions come thick and fast, and the demands and the excitement, and you can get to the end of the day and just think, where did the day go?
Yeah.
Where was I in that day? And so you've got to have something going on with other parents where they take your kids for 2 hours, mm-hmm. or you put them in a summer camp, whatever it is, and not to feel guilty about doing that. You don't have to have a reason for doing it. It doesn't have to be because you've got some work to do. It's just because you've got to fill yourself up if you're looking after children, because they take it out of you, even if they're wonderful and beautiful and gorgeous.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you've just mentioned, which is really, really vital, and one of the things that's got me through the summer, is relying on friends.
Yeah.
If you are exchanging children, you know, having those reciprocal arrangements for play dates, it's a massive survival technique for the summer, isn't it?
It's a great idea. And I mean, do people do it? I mean, you could just set up an Excel chart yeah. and just exchange, you know what I mean? Just,
what do you think they do?
With two or three other mums.
I think people do it, and I think there's a real value in doing it, not because of the financial stuff, although yes, that's, you know, maybe more important to some people than others, but the friendship thing and the sharing and the acknowledging that it's difficult, because I think far too many women, I get really passionate about this, I think there are far too many women at home thinking that they're the only one who's feeling a bit hard done by and a bit tired. And as soon as you start to share that with other women and say, you know, could you have mine for a bit and I'll have yours, you enable someone else to speak up and say, yeah, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you have to be good friends to be able to say, look, I really bad, because to ask someone is really hard, isn't
yeah.
it?
Oh, it
but
is.
You, sometimes you just have to.
even with the best of friends, do you know, and it's funny, like, you need to be able to say yes too. I mean, you need to be able to kind of, if somebody offers you help, and if you're not the kind of person who does reach out, it actually takes, you know, it takes courage yeah. to kind of go, yes, please, you know, that'd be great, because you do feel a little bit like a loser if you're kind of going, actually,
well,
I can't cook up, or I'd love to, I'd love to walk up to town. The thing I always have in my head is I'd love to walk up to town and have a coffee.
I know.
I spend my whole day chasing a coffee. Do you know that's ridiculous? And I always think, okay, when I go to there, I'll get one. No, okay, that didn't happen. I'll go there. And, you know, it's ridiculous. And it doesn't matter whether I get it or not, but it would be...
Psychologically, I think it does matter, actually. It's not about the actual coffee. It's the fact that you have made time for yourself and you've done it. And when you do that and just have that bit of headspace and think... And remembering me, we can go back and we can give more to our families.
Yeah.
And you know, when someone offers you some help, okay, if we just stop thinking about ourselves for a minute and think about the other person, they may very well be offering you some help, not because they think that you're rubbish or you need it, but because they know that by them offering you help, you might be able to reciprocate, and it might be that they're actually crying out for some help too. So if we just stop thinking about ourselves, then that might be a they need help as well.
Yeah. And the thing is, that's a great way to do it, because you can't summer camp your kids for the whole summer.
And it's very expensive too.
Is it?
If you've got two or more children, some people just can't afford to put them in summer camps or holiday clubs. Really, really expensive.
And children probably don't want to do that. You know, day in, day out. I mean, you know, children just, I think children love simple pleasures, or maybe that's just mine, but I think about, you know, my six-year-old's birthday party we just had in the summer. It was at home, didn't go anywhere fancy, and we did some arty crafty stuff. But you know what the highlight of it was? It was just running around the garden.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And chasing each other. And that was free.
I mean, I just panic buy in the summer. I think, oh, they're off for 6 weeks. I just book them into everything with no forethought, you know, and sort of overindulge them as well.
But so what's the strategy then? You should start lining up your summer at Easter, shouldn't you, really? You should start planning.
And women do. I mean, I know people who do that.
Really?
And then they say, have you booked such and such?
Really?
And you ring up and it's all booked. So forward planning is essential.
Yeah. And if you kind of, if you get your exchanges lined up.
Yeah.
From early on, from a month beforehand. Because I'd say the worst thing is if you don't get things lined up, then the day the schools are out, it must be a little bit of a conflict. You're one minute you're kind of happy that you've got your kids to yourself, but then absolute dread that it's 6 weeks of kind of
No routine
and entertainment.
Which can be lovely, but I think it's stressful for a lot of people. And I'd say, you know, let's not be hyper-organised about this, but you've got to have something organised in advance, because I don't know that other people feel the same, but I feel like it's a bit like getting on a roller coaster. So as soon as you have you start the summer holidays, you don't have a lot of time to come up for air and sort of plan a nice day out or OK, let's plan some childcare now. Because you're in the thick of it, aren't you? You do need to give it a bit of thought before the school holidays kick in.
I remember at the beginning of the summer, I bumped into a mum at the supermarket, and I was saying, just because I don't have kids in school yet, and you know, anybody you were meeting who had kids in school, they were like, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to get through it, and dreading the minute that schools are out and all this kind of stuff. So I said to her, oh, how are you doing? Yeah, Grant, are you dreading school's out? And she went, oh no, I'm so thrilled. No more packed lunches.
Yeah.
No more routine. She said, we can get up when we want. They can stay in their pyjamas till 10 o'clock if they like.
Yeah.
I don't care. She said, the pressure is off.
That's
and now
true.
We can have a little bit of nice time together. And I thought, God, that's great to hear
that. That's true. But
it is.
9 weeks of it is a
is
bit
it
much.
Nine?
It was for us, but
9 weeks.
Well, you know what? She's got her frame right. She's hanging the right frame around that, because that's about seeing what's good about the school holidays, and I'm with her.
Yeah.
Let's reframe it.
Get positive. Get planning, and let's get talking to some mums. Other mums.
Yeah. So we've got a couple of mums who'd like to speak on air tonight about their summers, and we're going to play a little tune, and we'll come back with one local mum from Harpenden.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Community Radio in West Hearts. Radio Verulam.
Welcome back to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
Welcome back. We're talking tonight, listeners, about Surviving the summer holidays as parents, we're all giving ourselves a big slap on the back tonight. And we're talking about our experiences of the summer with Jessica Chivers, who's the Thinking Woman's coach. She's here in the studio tonight listening to your, hopefully speaking to parents on the phone. We've got one on the phone at the moment from Harpenden, and we're going to be speaking to her. I got you there.
Hello, yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the Parents Show.
Thank you.
We've just been speaking about the summer and how women are in particular feeling sending your children presumably back to school this week or last week. How have you found the summer? How have you coped? Is there anything you could share about how you've managed to get on?
Well, it's a big topic, really, and thank you guys so much for talking about those most relevant, I think, things in mum's lives. Now, how did I cope? Not very well, I think. Even though I think I'm pretty well organized, I used to teach time management for years, so I thought I know it all. I know how to approach it and how to schedule things and activities. It was still very, very busy for me. To be honest, I was a little bit disappointed that there was no more organized sort of free activities for children. For example, children's center. I've got an impression that they shut down for summer holidays, while this is the time when they should be working, you know, their hardest, providing us with various opportunities to send children there at very, very little cost or no cost.
So, Aga, did you use, we're talking there about sort of friendships and using reciprocal childcare arrangements. Is that something you did?
Oh, yes, it was really good, I must say. But as also you mentioned on air, it's not that easy to find someone whom you can really trust, with whom you know that your children will be fairly happy, that there will be some, that they might have children of similar age. So there's lots of things that you need to sort of get right, and to find someone who will tick all your, you know, requirements is not that very easy. But yes, it is a great way to survive summer holidays, absolutely.
Aga, it's Jessica. I wonder, have you got friends, or your children have got friends, who you've had play dates where their parents of the children have come round, so that your children have got to meet the parents of their friends? And how old are your children?
They're 7 and 3. There is quite a gap, and they are into slightly different things, so you have to manage them in a way separately, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I do. Mm. I've got a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. But surely you've got some friends out there who would have loved it if you'd have offered to do something with their children,
absolutely.
Even if it's just a couple of hours.
Yeah, absolutely. But how many friends do you need to have to fill up your holiday so that, you know, it runs smoothly and you're not exhausted at the end of it? So, yes, it's a great way. I do agree. But still, the summer holiday for me personally was very busy. Now, Jessica, would you mind if I ask you a little question? Because now we are into the school term, and hopefully the mums will have a little moment to recharge their batteries and so on. Do you know of any sort of clever ways to accelerate your resting? Like, for example, if you see nutritionists, they will tell you, oh, if you're having the protein, have some carbohydrates with it. So the cleverness is in the combination of things.
Of course.
I was just wondering, when it comes to relaxation, whether there are any clever tips that you could share that would accelerate the resting and recharging of moms. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Visualization or whatever. You know, just anything that you could share would be great.
Yeah, I think the key is little and often. So rather than thinking about, wow, I need a week in a health farm every quarter or every year, not that most people have got the money to pay for that right now, but it's about every day finding yourself 5 or 10 minutes a couple of times a day just to try and switch off. And I mean, my children are 6 and 4, and I remember when they were you know, a couple of years younger, and times were really, really hard with them. It's hard work, especially in the winter. I would always make a point of going into what I call neutral part way through the day, and I might put the TV on for them or whatever, but I would always make a point of lying down myself in a particular position that I was taught from an Alexander technique teacher, and I would just lie with some really beautiful music on my iPod. The English Patient soundtrack is a favourite of mine, and I would put that on, and I would just need 5 or 10 minutes, and I would make myself stay absolutely still. So no getting up to sort any
problems out or answer the telephone and lie there for 10 minutes absorbed in this beautiful, beautiful music and being physically still. And I used to find after that sort of 8 to 10 minutes, just think, okay, and breathe and let's carry on. I think you alluded to seeing a nutritionist, Agra, as well, and food is so vital to our mood and our well-being, and that's everything from what we put in our bodies through to how long we take to chew it and whether we enjoy it and whether we're sitting down to eat it or whether we're racing around. And again, I have a rule in our house that, you know, you sit on your bottom and you let mummy eat her breakfast in peace. I'm just not going to deal with tantrums, bickering or respond to anybody when I'm eating, because food is our fuel. So eat well, rest well.
Yeah, and again, Jessica, would you agree that, I mean, I certainly find that if I'm not, your children will take as much as you let them get away with.
Yes.
So I'm sort of, I find myself over the summer totally overindulging them, and they, you know, just desperate to make sure they're happy and they're not going to cause any trouble. And really they have an expectation then when it gets to September that, you know, I want my toast, I want butter on my toast, the three-year-old will say, I want honey on my toast, you know, and I haven't had any breakfast. And yeah. I think that is my responsibility to say, well, mummy's going to have her breakfast now. And I think we have to give ourselves the permission to do that and remember to do it. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I think actually it's quite an important learning for children to realise that mummy is important.
Yes.
Mummy has got her needs. Yes, they need to be satisfied. It's not all about children that they get their breakfast. It's mummy who counts as well. Yes, so I think there is lots of value in conveying this message to children. Yes, that mum matters, really matters.
She does. And you know what, Agga, I think that's absolutely right. If you were to practice that in small ways, children see that they're not the centre of the universe and learn to understand and appreciate other people's needs and how it's important that they are met, and actually how you can contribute to mummy's well-being. Aww. Although that's not the term that you might use. And I remember I can't remember where I heard this from, but we certainly practice in our house now. When my husband comes in from work, he makes a fuss of me first to demonstrate, especially to our boy, that women are important and that mummy is important and special and will come and make a fuss of me first. And I think that sends a really strong signal to our children.
Absolutely.
Very, very nice, Jessica. Yeah. Well done, Mr. Chivers.
Yeah,
that's very nice.
Indeed, that is lovely. And I love the idea of kids not thinking that they're absolutely the centre of your planet. I mean, my husband says that to the children, and sometimes I think, Nick, you're being Mr. Grumpy, but he will say, you are not the centre of the universe, in the nicest possible way.
Yeah, but that's my question. How do you do it in a way that is actually nice? Because usually if it gets to that stage where if I'm saying, listen, I just need 5 minutes, 5 minutes on my own. Now, granted, I'm talking to a very chatty, nearly four-year-old, you know, and getting him to understand that the universe isn't actually completely focused on him is almost impossible for him to understand right now. But how do you say it in a way that you can get through to young toddlers? And I mean, is it, or do you just go for television? I mean, television, switch it on, they're sedated, that's it.
I don't think it has to be about TV. So I hold my hands up and I, you know, say, I have learnt so much from my husband, and he has a very distinct and natural parenting style, and he is can be really engaged with the children and give them a lot of affection and time. But when he doesn't want to do that and he takes it away, then the children know, okay, daddy's not playing now. And you know, the children have learned not to expect too much from daddy. And when daddy says, no, go off and play, you go off and play. Because I think it's about juxtaposing that ability to show your kids lots of love and affection and time, and then say, no, actually, go off and do something else now. And ignoring them.
Yeah.
And he's really good at doing that. No, go off and play. Yeah. I'm doing something.
Mums are not good at ignoring them.
We justify it. Oh, just give me 5 minutes because yeah. I need to get the tea on. Yeah. No, don't justify it. Just say, no, go off and do something else. We've done beading or sketching or whatever you've done for the last half an hour. Go off and do something else now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No explanation, no excuses,
yeah,
no nothing.
I'm just, I spent my whole life going, I'm just doing something else, you know, to try and go. Just
you're just knackered.
Yeah, yeah.
Agga, have you got any other questions for Jessica?
Not immediately. Well, I'm looking forward, obviously, to listening to what you further suggest. I would like to probably attend some of your workshops that I've seen on your website already.
Oh, Aggie, you're very welcome. I'd love to have you come along.
Yeah, but at the moment I just listen to what you guys say, because sometimes, you know, you can't come up with ideas. You need to hear them first to expand, and you take them as yours and internalize, whatever you call it. Mm. But I would like to hear more about the resting and rejuvenating, how you go about practically, how you do it. You mentioned this little often technique works. It's just 5 or 10 minutes.
It doesn't, but you've got to respect the time as well. So if your children start haranguing you when you're trying to have that 10 minutes, you've absolutely got to ignore them, because if mummy starts lying down on the floor for, you know, 5 minutes and you've never done that before, they're going to come and jump on you. They're going to say, what are you doing? Mummy, will you do this? You've got to ignore them. Or, I remember doing this when my son was about 3 years old. And he didn't have an afternoon sleep anymore. So I was exhausted, and his sister, my daughter, was away for a nap because she was about a year old. And I said to Monty, right, okay, I'm going to put some nice music on, and I'm going to lie on the floor, and I'm going to watch the clouds. And he was fussing for TV or whatever. I said, no, there's no, look, you either go and play, or you come and lie by my side and watch the clouds as well. Okay, and he came and he lay down on the floor and watched the clouds with me, and we just chilled out together, and it was so nice because he basically knew there was no other option. He was going to lie there with me, or he had to go off and amuse himself, and that gave him a bit of downtime. But I think we've really got to respect the time ourselves, and little and often.
It's a very good tip. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Aga. Thanks for tuning in and listening in tonight, and hope enjoy the rest of the discussion.
Yes, thank you very much.
All the very best.
Yes.
Bye. Now, just to give you a little bit of information about Jessica's workshop, it's called Mother's Work Back to Work Workshop. It's on the 1st of October here in St. Albans, and there's a discount when booking with a friend. And so it's from 9:30 to 3 p.m. And the kind of topics that will be gone through are pitching for a flexible working, how to bring back confidence and sense of credibility, preparing emotionally, handling the domestic stuff, and renegotiating roles. Oh, I like that one. Sharing the load at home. And it's £70 each. And if you're booking with a friend before September 17th, so get in there quick. And that includes lunch and all refreshments and a copy of the book. Great. Brilliant. So coming up after the next song, we'll be talking to another local mum who's going to give us her perspective on it.
Friendly Radio. We're Radio Verulam in West Hearts.
Welcome back to The Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now, tonight's show is all about women working, coping with the parents, I should say. Sorry, I'm being very biased. Parents coping with having children for 9 or 6 weeks over the summer holidays, and generally starting the school year a little bit tired, a little bit worn out. Now, we've spoken to one local mum about her experience. Now, we've got another local mum on the phone who's St. Albans based. Hello, Aline.
Hello, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Hello. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Pleasure. I've been listening and smiling quite a lot. I recognise myself in quite a lot of what's been said already.
So tell us about your experience. How's your summer been?
Well, it's been a long summer, I think, as for most parents. I have 3 children, and they now all go to school. I've got 2 girls who are quite close in age, who are now nearly 9 and 10, and then a boy who's 5. So I've approached this summer with a lot of forward planning. I know that was discussed early on the show, and I tend to book them into activities, not all day, every day, but dotted around the holiday period. But because of the age difference and interest difference and gender difference, what I often find myself doing is maybe having one child doing one thing, but then being left with the other two. So a lot of my summer has been, first of all, organizing and then driving them from A to B to C, picking one up, taking another one somewhere else.
You're not getting a rest at all. That's not serving you well. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. So not much rest. I think the thing that works quite well is because I've got a good network now, we share a lot of the runs, and I always try to book my children activities with some of their friends.
Great. Yeah,
so you always know
too.
That you have other people to rely on when, for example, your car dies on you and you have to drive them somewhere. So I think, you know, whilst it's great for the children to have these activities dust around and seeing their friends as well, which is really important over the summer, it does mean, from my perspective, that I had very little downtime. I did make sure we had some days when no one did anything.
Great.
But it was quite tiring from that perspective.
I'm curious, if you did get all your kind of ducks in a row, if you like, and had all three children doing something that you didn't have to drive or be responsible for, so they're at a day camp, say, what did you do with that time?
I think I would probably go and have a nice chat with a friend, because I think it's very therapeutic to have coffee with a friend who wouldn't have their children with them.
Yeah,
I have to
of
say,
course.
That would be a real prerequisite. And maybe go for a walk and do some yoga and read a nice book. Probably not do a lot.
Great.
And just have, you know, time for myself. I think that's probably what I would do.
And how often would you factor that in, Aline?
Pardon?
How often would you factor that in?
Oh, as often as possible. I mean, I do feel drained after the summer holiday, and I think it's because you're always on duty 24/7, and once all your children are at school, it's something that you're simply not used to anymore.
Yeah.
Now there are advantages, because, you know, my children are at an age where I can say, right, for the next half hour I'm going to go and do something else, or I can even, you know, pop down to the shop very quickly and get something, and even just that 10-minute walk
yeah.
to go and buy a pint of milk I find quite liberating.
It's because
the
word. That's the word, though, isn't it? Liberating.
Liberating.
You're free. I get so excited about the idea of collecting the dry cleaning on my own.
Yes.
I know, it's ridiculous, but just not having to sling it across a buggy and risk it falling off and getting crumpled.
Exactly.
No one talking at you. I remember getting excited about going to the laundrette in the winter. We didn't have a tumble dryer. And just thinking, great, I'm going to go to the laundrette. I'm going to sit my back against a hot dryer for half an hour and read my book.
Yeah.
But it's interesting what you say, Aline, because this idea of going out for 10 minutes, I think it's incredibly restorative, because, well, not only is walking has been proved to be really good for us and you're out in the fresh air, but because you're not on duty, those are the words that you used,
mm-hmm.
There's no threat of having to do something or to be called upon to do something. And I think that's the thing in the summer holidays, is I think parents don't have much opportunity to get into what psychologists call a state of flow.
Mm-hmm.
And flow is that beautiful mental state when you are using some skills. So you don't get into flow drive by just sitting on your bum and watching the TV. But it's where you're using some sort of skills, and you're a little bit challenged, and you get lost in an activity. And time can pass, and you cannot notice that you're hungry. Maybe you're baking a cake. Maybe mm-hmm. you're writing something. Maybe you're doing your yoga, as you mentioned. And it's incredibly restorative. And I think in the holidays, and people who don't have childcare, who have very young children, especially, say, new mothers, they don't get chance to get into that mental state of flow as much as they need to, if at all.
No, that's very true. That's very true.
And Aline, I know that work is something you've tried part-time in the past with your three children.
Mm-hmm.
So you've done that. Is that something you would think about? I mean, a lot of women are, you know, think about returning to work, and what would be the considerations you'd have in making that decision?
Well, I've tried pretty much every combination with my children. I've worked full-time, I've worked 4 days a week, I've worked 3 days a week. I think the key is for you to be happy, because I think some mothers naturally enjoy and thrive on being at home all the time, which I actually think is the hardest job in the world. And I think if you're happy doing that, and if, of course, financially you can afford to, then that's great. I'm a little bit different. I do need to have something else going on. It doesn't have to be necessarily lucrative, but I do need an activity. For me, the ideal is 3 days, you know, 2 to 3 days. That's my equilibrium, 3 being at the upper end. But I think it really depends on also what stage your children are at, because sometimes one child might really need you, and that's when actually you might think, I need to pull back on my work and, you know, maybe scale it down. Of course, it's a luxury to be able to do that.
Do you freelance, Aline, or have you had employed positions?
I was employed until I had my third child, and after that I took some time off, and then I freelanced, which, you know, gives you obviously a lot of freedom,
and flexibility. But I think what I've learned from it is that the flexibility comes at a cost, because at the end of the day, your client is king.
Yeah.
And if you've agreed that, you know, you're going to do 2 days on a project, but the project's gone pear-shaped or you need more resource, you're just going to have to do it. So for me, I would still always stay freelance. I don't think I could ever be employed again. And it does give flexibility, but I think it's a shame that it's always really the woman who have to go for the flexible option. Not quite always, but, you know, a lot of the time. And then you have to worry about the childcare and everything else.
It sounds like you've managed incredibly well, though. Through, you said that your oldest is 10 now, and it sounds like you've tried a lot of different combinations. So you're clearly flexible and able to reflect on what works for you, and have found at times that things have worked really, really well.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, you were talking about guilt early on in the program, and I think, you know, a lot of what's holding women back from, you know, exploring going back to work is the guilt. And I think that's very unique, or very, very startling in the UK and in our little bubble in Hertfordshire. Because,
yes,
you know, in continental Europe where I grew up, you know, it was just, yeah, okay, you go to work, you know, and there's no, it doesn't mean you don't love your child. You know,
absolutely.
But it's just, there's no contradiction. Whereas I think here, our generation is very much, I don't know if we're made to feel guilty, but we have a huge amount of guilt as mothers, especially.
I think there's a lot of choice in the UK. Some countries there is much more a way of doing things.
Yes.
And again, psychologists study how people respond to choice and too much choice.
It's stressful.
And in my book, I talk about this. There's a whole chapter on guilt.
Uh-huh.
And I think when you see a lot of different ways of doing things, you can feel, oh gosh, am I doing it the right way? Because you might have mums in the playground or dads in the playground who don't work, through to people that do work full time, and you see these myriad of choices and think, oh, am I doing it right? And I all the clients that I work with, I always go back to sort of one question. If you're going to design your life from scratch, how would it be? How many days would you be working?
Uh-huh.
What would you be your ideal setup? And trying just to focus on what's right for you and your unique circumstances, and really not anybody else. Because if you've got something like a mother-in-law or a mother or a father close by who can support you, something like that makes a tremendous difference.
Absolutely.
To your mental well-being. And I know women who haven't gone back to work, but who have those parenting laws or parents on tap, so are able to sort of press the what I call the panic button and say, can you just have the kids? And they'll go off and do something for themselves. So they're not working, but they're having time out, by golly. And
yeah,
for lots of women, they don't have family nearby, so the way that they get their headspace is having to go out to work, because that's the only way they can justify the childcare they need to get to have the headspace. If that makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's it. I think I would definitely fit in that category, because I don't have any family nearby, and it was definitely that. But I think it's, you know, again, it's a balance, and I think most women I know who work probably work in jobs that they were doing 10 years ago. They've opted to work to get a bit of space, and obviously, you know, also bring some money, but they don't necessarily want to be challenged to the max in their jobs, because they're challenged at home with their children. And I think there's no shame in that.
It's
and
not.
It's taken me a long time to realise that you don't have to go up that greasy pole. It's okay to stop climbing.
It absolutely is. And where would the world be if everybody wanted to get up that greasy pole? You know, and variety is so important. Diversity, you look at the animal kingdom and ecosystems, you need diversity. And so everything that we're saying tonight, it's not to say, you know, my book is about working motherhood. It's not to say that staying at home is not an equally valid and good decision. It's about what works for you, given the ages of your children, the needs of your children, what you need for intellectual stimulation or not, what childcare you have, what your financial situation is. And my point is, there are so many variables in any family that to try and compare yourself to another family is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So let's all just get on, let everyone be, let's support each family's decisions to do what they're doing, pitch in and help each other as best we can when we can.
I think that's a great conclusion, because the competitiveness, or you know, comparing each other is a very
prevalent thing, I would say.
Yeah. I think that just puts it all together so nicely, Jessica. I mean, about the whole show. And Aline, I loved some of your, I mean, you found a solution in going freelance. You know, you're always looking for solutions, and that's an inspiration, and staying positive about it, like looking at it as an opportunity to get to spend quality time with your kids. You know, it's not the short straw, is it? You know, it's just the balance.
Definitely.
Isn't it? And being happy.
Yes, and I think if you're happy, your children are happy.
Yeah,
if you're miserable at home, they will know that you're not enjoying it.
That's it, exactly. Aline, thank you so much for joining us this evening, and thanks for sharing your thoughts and experiences.
Pleasure, and I'm so happy that they're back at school now. Thanks a lot.
Enjoy your wine.
Thank you.
Bye. Right, now we better actually move on. We're running out of time on the show. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Let me just run through your workshop again. So we have it on the 1st of October in St Albans, 9:30 to 3 p.m. Best thing is to go to your website.
Really, to find out where it is, Jess.
Location. Yeah, that's all on there. And buy the book. It's on Amazon, and I think it's only $7.69 at the moment. A bargain.
And it's called Mother's Work! By Jessica Chivers. Thank you for joining us, Jessica.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And go to Horse's Mouth section. I really like that on the website. It's great. Brilliant stuff. So we are going to give away a copy of your book,
yeah.
I believe. So the question is, what's the name of Jessica's book? And if you email us on parentshow@radioverulam.com before Thursday next week, we will announce the winner on the show. And we want to announce the winner of 2 weeks ago's show. We had a book by Professor Spector to give away. And the winner is Paul Carum from Fleetville. Congratulations, Paul. We'll be dropping the book around to you sometime soon. So we're coming to the end of the Parent Show. We'll thank you very much for listening. If you have any questions, any show suggestions, parentshow@radioverulam.com. We'd love to hear from you. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All the very best. Thank you so much.